It makes me laugh every day.
This song?
Yeah.
Well, sure. I'm sure when Ema Sumac wrote this song, she was hoping to make us laugh, and she
is. I don't think she really was. I think she's taking this as
serious.
Yep. Are we calling this a stream of consciousness?
Yeah.
Or is it too hokey?
We've called it the bonus hour. We've called it, I think that was it. Just the bonus hour. And now yesterday you came up with stream of consciousness, which is real good. I say it's up to you, the listener, to call the show whatever you want.
Crap.
People have called it that. Modern Family is taken, so we can't call it that. The Sonny and Cher variety hour is taken. We cannot call it that. But call it what you want. It's happening, and it's happening now. And we have a guest in the studio for you. Andy Boyle is here. Andy has written a book, a great book, called Adulthood for Beginners. Andy, we need this book now more than ever.
Well, thank you.
We really do.
And I'd like to say thank you so much for having me.
Well, I got to give Rex Hubke from the Chicago Tribune some credit because I saw that he wrote about this book. I have two teenage boys. One's going to be 18 in a couple of weeks. And I thought the book called Adulthood for Beginners would be very helpful for them. They're not too young, 14 and 18, to read this.
No, what I like to say is there are some swear words.
Oh, no.
Oh, they've never heard that out of my mouth.
I don't know if teens these days have heard swear words, but but the idea, it's there's swear words, but it's not graphic or vulgar. Like, my mom read it, and she was just like, oh, that's just how people talk.
Right.
Good for her.
Yeah, but she also suggested, she's just like, maybe you do a version without swear words that you can sell to 12-year-olds. And I was like, I don't think 12-year-olds are going to be worried about this.
You know, 12-year-olds today could teach you a few new swear words.
Oh, I'm sure they could.
Would it be safe to assume that even though we have achieved the level by which we should be called adults, none of us are ever 100% adults, are we?
Yeah, and that's the thing that I touch on in the book. It's just like, you're an adult whether you think you are or not.
Yeah.
And also, what I like to say is, like, you're doing a great job. Like, the fact that you've gotten wherever you are in life, if you graduated high school, if you graduated college, if you didn't do either, you're still doing awesome. You got where you are, and you're continuing to go. And I just want people to kind of have a little bit more faith in themselves, because you've exceeded at so many things that you're probably not even aware of.
Yeah.
Well, you could always ask us for advice, because, I don't know about you, but I have certainly achieved adulthood.
Oh, good for you. Congrats.
And I got to tell you, it was way better being a kid.
Yes.
No responsibilities. The hardest thing you had to think of is whose house you were going to play at after school.
I miss the days of you would just be able to ride your bike until the sun started going down.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that's time to go home.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, my parents don't necessarily know where I am. It's like, I'm at the park, but...
And they didn't really care.
No. No, and they were relatively, you know, or sometimes you'd see the weather, like it turned green, and you're like, oh, the tornadoes are coming.
Right.
We should go indoors.
Right. Also, I don't know if you're a homeowner, but
I am.
Every once in a while, do you do this where you walk around your house and you go, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be upgraded, that, we got to get rid of that. And in the old days, it was your parents who took care of that, and now it's kind of on us.
Yes, and when my parents come visit, they like to point out, they're like, that's been broken since the day you moved in.
Right.
You should get some spackle and fix this.
Right.
And I'm like, I should. I'm probably not going to, because it doesn't bother me. It bothers you.
You learn to live with a few things in your life when you become an adult,
yes,
and you learn what things are most important to take care of. Now, this is funny, but there are serious parts to this book as well.
Yep. No, I try never to be cynical. I try to always be relatively uplifting. I try to make jokes. There's times like where I try, I'll break the tension of talking about something serious with some levity.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's just like I tried to be as honest and conversational as possible.
Yeah.
So if you're reading it, you know, the sections are relatively short. You're not going to get too bored. And I really tried not to ever be preachy, because it's just kind of like, I know that not all of this is going to work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I also try to show you a lot of my mistakes. So even if the way I think you could do it is maybe wrong, you can at least see my way of doing it wrong.
Yes.
And you can learn from that.
Yes. Can we focus for a second on one of what I think is one of your shorter chapters? And the chapter is called Should I Sleep with Coworkers? And the chapter reads like this. No.
Yep, that's the entire chapter.
That's all.
One big word that says no. Yeah, that's a...
I wouldn't be married now if that's the case.
This kind of just goes back to the fact that I know not all relationships work out.
Right.
And if they don't all work out, and then you still have to work a job in the place that's giving you a paycheck and health insurance.
Yes.
Maybe not always the best idea.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, and sometimes it works out for people. And I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but I'm just saying for There's a lot of people out there, and some of your coworkers have friends,
right,
who you could maybe date.
Right.
So,
but to Wendy's point, she would not be married if she wasn't sleeping with a coworker. You've scaled back a lot, which is nice of you.
But here's the thing, too, and I don't know if this is covered in adulthood because I have not finished it cover to cover. Andy Boyle in the studio with us. But there's also something to be said. If you're friends with somebody, maybe don't take it to that next level. And Jim and I were friends for several years before mm-hmm. we started dating. In my opinion, I think that's a good way to do it because you have mutual respect for one another. However, if it didn't end up with us getting married, I don't know that we'd still be great friends.
Yeah. No, my thing is always, you don't want to do harm by asking somebody out. Like
right.
if it's somebody
a
like,
teacher.
Yeah. Yes. Or somebody that, like, at a coffee shop you go to all the time. Like, my thing is just, like, in a lot of these situations, let them make the first move.
Yeah.
If you are ever kind of cautious or don't think that maybe it will work, that's kind of your subconscious saying, don't do this.
Too dangerous.
Or maybe it's just like, hey, you know, and also this could just, like, kind of make your friend group feel weird, or there's some other stuff like that.
Right.
All right. It's kind of a guide to adulthood. And Andy Boyle, do you feel like you've achieved adulthood, or I feel like we're all still becoming adults in different ways.
Yeah. I think we're all
evolving.
We're all trying to get better. And I think that's the main thing that most people are trying to do. Mm-hmm. Whether it's like in your career or like mental health, physical health, everyone's just trying to like, you know, kind of push themselves usually in a better direction. And so with that, it's like, I'm always trying to grow, and I like to think I'm an adult, but I also like my parents are in like their 60s and my dad's 70. And, just seeing how much of a kid that they still are,
mm-hmm.
that's nice to know that that will never go away.
That's sweet.
It you know what?
It is.
It is sweet. Now, I'm going to throw a word at you that I'm sure you're aware of, and I have been called this once or twice, and I'm fine with it. The word is man-child. So you're a combination of adult, man in my case, and child, obviously. So is that a bad thing?
If your wife calls you that.
My wife has called me that. It's not a bad thing.
I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing. I think where it can be bad is if, like, the child aspects don't help you kind of further the man side of it.
Right.
Or if you use it as an excuse to, like, not get work done or mm-hmm. kind of be lazier, or if you use it as an excuse to be mean.
Yeah.
Then I think it's just kind of like, well, you kind of got to reevaluate what's going on. And I think, you know, I think I was a man child for quite a while. And then I kind of realized it's like, I kind of like dressing nice and eating and drinking healthy and trying to be a lot happier than I used to be.
Sure.
All right. Something that I think is totally important and worth discussing, is don't ruin your life on social media. Yep. I think this is going to be a very important topic for kids today. What would you say is the age range for someone to read adulthood for beginners? Just ballpark.
I would say starting around maybe like age 17.
Okay.
Just because it's just like, you know, there's swear words. And it's what I think like 14-year-olds are reading Game of Thrones. So I think they're going to be fine.
Right. But that when you're, you know, I have a 14-year-old who's not experiencing the stuff that a 17-year-old is experiencing.
And
so social media.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot different than, especially when I was younger even. Like Facebook didn't come out till I was like a freshman in college. And it's just like the thing I always like to say is it's just like it's in the book. It's just like don't put anything on there you don't want. Everyone in your, like, you don't want it on the front of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people don't understand, I guess, like, the digital storage components of a lot of that stuff. Like, just because you texted your best friend doesn't mean that they can't take a screenshot and share it with friends, or like, anything you say can just kind of go out pretty quick.
Right.
And so
Did you send a copy of this to Anthony Weiner? I'm curious.
I have not.
You should.
His people have not gotten to me. But no, it kind of goes along those lines. And it's also like, you don't have to use social media. I think a lot of people lead really well, happy lives without using it.
Mm-hmm. Bill doesn't really use it that much. You really don't.
And you're probably just doing great.
I'm fine.
He's doing better than the rest of us.
There's a lot less stuff to read. Like you can and also you can just take a break. You don't have to like explain yourself. You can just be like, I don't want to use Snapchat. I'm not going to use Snapchat. And then like if anyone's mad at you, it's just like, what are you actually mad about me not using Snapchat?
Something that you always had to keep in mind when I first started out in radio, memos. Or letters to people. You always kind of said, don't make a paper trail. You don't want people to get this information. Well, you have to think, even though you're not physically writing it on a piece of paper, even an email can be copy and pasted. Definitely a text can. And social media, I think, younger kids today, even though they're just sending it to their friends, they're thinking, oh, no one's going to see this. And then I hear stories that prospective colleges and employers check social media. That can happen these days.
And there are, I'm not sure about all of this, but I know there are some states that enacted laws where, like, employers used to want to have your username and password to, like, look through everything on your social media accounts.
Yeah, right.
There's some states that passed laws, I believe, against that. But for a lot of that, it's just like, when in doubt, be nice. Like, you, I don't think, for the most part, you'll never regret being nice or being publicly nice or treating someone with kindness.
Yeah.
But you will regularly, like, not feel happy about something that you said that was said in anger.
Yeah.
And so, especially on social media or in emails or talking to somebody, your friend on the phone, just, it's like, take a breath. Is this something you really want to say? If not, you probably don't have to say it to them.
Oh.
It's like, you can be angry, scream out into the world. Scream into a pillow.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily have to be mean on the internet.
Yeah.
There's a page in here, things you think don't matter at your job, but they do. And these are valuable tips. Do you know some of them off the top of your head, or would you like your book back?
I might need my book back. Yeah, no, there's a couple of these. Yeah, you don't think that these matter, but it's just like how clean your shoes are. The amount of times in my career where I had bosses, especially when I used to be a young newspaper reporter, thus poor, and my boss would point out how dirty my shoes were. And I just thought it was my boss giving me crap, but he brought it up a lot because my shoes were dirty and I didn't look as professional as they probably wanted me to. And that was kind of his thing. And I know it's the dumbest thing in the world for someone to judge you based on that, but we do it.
Yeah.
Like, I will regularly look at someone's shoes and I'll be like, that dude looks awesome. And I don't know how the rest of his outfit is.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, those shoes are so awesome.
Just based on the shoes.
Yeah. When I see,
it's kind of true.
Yeah. And it's a silly thing. And it's, I don't think it's great that we do this, but we do. And so be aware of that. Just try to have relatively clean shoes. Another big thing that I think is still, again, the silliest thing in the world, your handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is probably it's still gross, but it's just like, my sister's boyfriends, I would judge all of them by their handshake.
Oh,
and she's really? Older. She's older than me. And yeah. So I just remember, and she knew I did this, so she would not tell them. And so I just remember every time I'd shake their hands, I would just be like, this one's not going to last.
How could you tell? What were you looking for?
Just like the handshake was weak. Or
you want a big, firm handshake, yeah, a big, like strong grip.
A basic handshake.
Yeah.
But not too strong, because then it's showing control. You
exactly.
Know?
So that comes into it. Again, these are all silly things.
Yeah.
But the you know, my brother-in-law, the man she married, when I shook his hand, I was just like,
This
is the guy.
I shook your hand when we walked in here. Do you remember anything about me?
I didn't, which is good.
Okay, good. Nothing stood out. It
exactly.
wasn't too strong, too weak. It was just
right.
These are
like Goldilocks.
Yeah, like a Goldilocks.
These are silly things,
but
they're like, people do judge you by them. And there's also like these, like if an interview went really well, if you shake someone's hand and then you put your second hand kind of on their arm, like that is like a thing that will help make them remember.
That's a politician's move.
I do that a lot.
There's a reason they do it, because it works, because you remember. Because they're changing how normal handshakes are.
Yeah.
So if you had a really good interaction with somebody, do that at the end, and it'll help you remember that.
Oh,
you shake hands,
smart.
And then the other hand on top of their arm or wrist or hand, just go, thank you so much. I had a great time.
Or Bill Clinton would draw you in with his other hand. He would pull the bottom part of your arm toward him.
And then he'd undo your pants.
And then he would, a lot of times he would do that.
Another big thing that people don't think matter is how messy your desk is.
Oh, my God. Don't look in our
office.
Oh, yeah. I know. And it's like, so I had an old job where I was a web developer for a media company, and we had free soda.
Yeah.
And I
free
thought.
Free soda?
Yes. It was.
We can't even get water here.
It was 2010. It was the glory days.
Oh, my God.
And I would drink one or two a day. And so I was just stacking these Diet Cokes into a little pyramid on my cubicle wall.
Why?
And just because I thought
you
it was.
Could.
Because I could.
Yeah.
Because I was 24.
Right.
And this, or 24, 25, and this made sense to me. And nobody told me it was gross. Nobody told me anything until one day after some meeting, one of my coworkers comes over and he's just like, hey, Andy, head of HR thinks your desk is disgusting.
Oh.
And you need to throw away all the cans.
Oh.
And I got immediately angry. And I was
they
just
can't
like,
tell me what to
they
do.
They can't tell me what to do. And then I was just like, oh, if they're bringing it up in a meeting and not to my face, it's probably something I should take care of. And also, just like having a cleaner desk makes you feel more comfortable.
Sure, it does. It does.
Oh, yeah. And especially like after having worked with so many news organizations where they just have piles and piles and piles of old newspapers stacked up on their desks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, do you plan on reading that one from 2016? But no, it's just like a cleaner desk helps your brain. And also other people walking past you, they'll be like, clean desk.
Yeah.
But if your desk is in disarray, they go, ooh.
Plus, that adds to your anxiety, trust me, because my house is in disarray and my desk, and then you know where things are because you have different piles, but it still stresses you out.
Yep.
Andy Boyle in the studio with us, author of Adulthood for Beginners. Before we let you go, what has been the most challenging moment of adulthood? What would you think would be the toughest thing that we have to learn?
I found out I was going to be getting laid off in December. I ended up getting a job. But that was one of the more stressful times as a homeowner, as somebody who has a monthly mortgage payment,
sure,
as a cat who needs to be fed, all of these sort of things. It was just like, oh my goodness, for all of these years, I've always been getting jobs and jobs. And this was the first time they were like, we're sorry, but you know, you gotta go.
Right.
Because we're shutting this division down. And so it was just kind of like this. I've never not had a job. I've had a job almost all the way through since I was like 14. And so having to relearn how to get a job when you don't have one was really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I had saved money. I had kind of always prepared. Working in media, you always kind of prepare for that sort of stuff.
You saved money. Good for you.
Yes. My parents taught me well. And so I knew I'd be okay for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months. But it was just very terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I had, you know, a job within like a month. So, but that was one of the harder things I had to deal with. So that and just, you know, family members when they get sick.
Yeah, so. Always difficult.
Mm-hmm. I was talking, my son Michael will be 18 on the 23rd of May. And, you know, he's graduating from high school and college is next. And he's like, boy, things were easier when I was younger. And I said, yeah, you know, life gets harder and you're still going to make mistakes. It's just the consequences are a little bigger when you get older.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a nice birthday book for him.
Great.
A gift.
I'm glad. I hope he likes it.
Real quickly, do you think there's a percentage of people who don't become an adult until they have children themselves? Like then the realization sets in. Maybe me. Could be me.
Kind of me too, though.
It's like that's when you go, okay, now it counts.
That's what my parents tell me. They're just like, oh, we can't wait till you have kids.
Yeah.
You know, because it's kind of like payback.
Right.
Sure.
But now what they say is because my mom wants more grandchildren is she's just like, oh, you'd be such a great dad.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd be so great. And it's just like, you just want more grandkids. I get to take care of them most of the time.
She knows what she's doing.
Yes, she does.
Andy Boyle's book is called Adulthood for Beginners. Andy, if people want the book, and why wouldn't they want the book? Where's the best place to go?
They can pick it up at most major booksellers as well as a lot of indie bookstores. You can also find out more information on andyboyle.com. It's on Amazon, Target, all these other places.
Boyle spelled B-O-Y-L-E.
B-O-Y-L-E.
Great to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Andy. We'll take a quick break. We've got news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, Stream of Consciousness on WGN.
Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Jude.
You have an event today. Mm-hmm. Do you want to plug it?
Today?
Is it today or no?
No. Oh, this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. The National Alliance for the Mentally Ill.
Because she got her nails done and her hair is curled, so I thought it was today.
Something must be up. Judy looks good. What's going on?
You mean I always look good,
always
right?
Always look good, but today especially.
No, but I did get my nails done for the event, so. Yeah, I'll be emceeing it out in DuPage County.
Was this relying on the fact that you would get your nails done? Was that the only reason they would have you?
Well, you got to do it when you're in front of people.
You want to look your
absolutely
best.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't get the pedicure, so I'm going to have to do that myself. But at least I got the manicure.
All right.
And it's going to be cool enough this weekend that I could probably cover
a closed toe shoe, maybe?
Yeah. No hose, though.
Will you bring your axes with?
My axes.
We did a, well, we did.
Oh,
didn't.
My axes.
The
right.
WGN radio did a team building exercise where they all were throwing axes and.
I look pretty good. Did you see the video?
She did look pretty good.
I did look pretty
do
good.
Do not
there.
Wrong her. That's all I have to say.
I wouldn't do that.
I wanted to ax Brent Sopel because he was so good.
Former Blackhawk, great.
He did four at once.
Yeah, I know.
And they stuck.
I saw the video.
How can you even hold four axes, much less throw four axes?
Exactly.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
He is an athlete, and it was very apparent. We did boys against girls, and we had a little bit more girls, and then the guys were complaining. And we're like, you have Sopel, shut up.
It's not fair.
Yeah, and they won.
He played with all the girls? Good for him.
Yeah.
He helped the girls out?
No, he was on the boys' team, had one more player.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
And like it mattered with him.
Well, boys.
Who was the worst?
Don't answer that.
It was someone on Patty Vasquez's show. I don't know his name.
Uh-oh. How could you not?
Was it Craig?
Elliot?
I don't know who Elliot is.
And no, it was bad. It was just really, it was, you had to get a rhythm. You couldn't just throw it. It was very, very difficult. But once you threw it and it stuck, then you knew. You knew how to continue doing it. Yeah, you knew the way you had to do it and the way you had to, you know,
this
follow through.
This is a skill that will come in handy because, as you've mentioned, you've been attacked by grizzly bears several times in the last few weeks.
Absolutely. It will come in handy when I'm carrying the axe on my jeans and on a belt.
Well, you speak of athletes. Bill Leff is a pretty good tennis player. I will
say that.
I've seen you play. You have played against Mark Carmen in the past. And what is the standing? Because I thought you beat him more than he beat you.
Mark, the first three times we played, knocked me out. And then the last time we played, I beat him. I finally realized what I was doing wrong, and I corrected that. He was scoring more points than I was. So I said, I want to see what will happen if I score more points than Mark Carmen. And I did, and then it just turns out I won.
Now, speaking of being athletic,
yes.
you know, Mark is going to be in Dancing with the Stars, or is in Dancing with the Stars.
The local version of Dancing with the Stars.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's, you got to be pretty athletic for that.
Right. No
question. And have rhythm. I mean, I'm sorry, bottom line.
I'm not talking about his rhythm because I don't know about that, but.
He's a good athlete.
I think he knows how to memorize the steps anyway.
Yeah.
He is a good athlete.
Yeah, he's a very good
athlete. Actually, Bill, I've played softball with you and you're intense.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, intense.
I thought it was just a game. I'm going to play. It was celebrity softball. Oh, my God.
Wait till you hear this. When we worked at Q101, we did mornings and the music, you know, took the front seat. We were just there to.
That's
play
right.
new songs.
Play the music.
Yeah.
We played against other radio stations, and I have pitched 16-inch in the past. I hadn't played in years, but I wanted to pitch. And it was, again, a celebrity softball game against other radio stations. So I was not pitching very well. He took me out of the game.
What?
I'm like, who died and made you captain?
Tell Judy how many runs you gave up in one inning.
I don't even remember, and I know you remember. See, he remembers everything.
But I'll bet the people that you were playing for still got the money, okay?
No, there was no money. They refused it.
No.
They said this is
But they're there to see us, you know, play,
but usually
good or
it's
bad.
It's a charity game. Usually you're playing for something.
Oh, no, he took me out.
Nine runs in one inning.
Bill, come
In two-thirds of an inning.
You know what? There's a guy, there's a friend you would dump.
I got to work with him every day.
Otherwise,
I'd make it very uncomfortable if I dumped him.
It was a mercy killing. I did not remove her from the pitcher's mound. It was a mercy killing.
Yeah, and that's funny, Wendy, because I would have just taken myself out. If I'm not doing well,
I was okay with going out, but the fact that he said it, it's like, wait.
Someone had to step up, and there were Wendy was on the mound, and we're all looking at each other like, someone has to do this.
No, I probably wouldn't have.
Because
I would have gotten better. No, you know, there are some days you don't say everything perfect on the air. I don't take you out.
You've suggested.
Well, maybe you should start.
You've suggested.
Go in the other room.
Go in the bathroom.
You.
Turn your mic off.
Right. Right.
But all I'm saying is,
Wendy, I think you have that power, by the way.
I don't want power.
Please, turn his mic off.
Nope,
it'd be hilarious.
You know what? Gary Meyer used to do that to me, and I will never do that to anyone as long as I live. Because you're taking away someone's voice.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
That's totally bad. Yeah. So
the other thing about Wendy that.
I did not turn his mic off. He did that himself. You're a jerk, but I love you.
That's fine.
Anyway,
he kept moving his lips just to freak me out. I was like, what are you doing?
It was for Judy's enjoyment.
That's right.
All right. Well, the reason I bring this up is because Bill is a good athlete and never has a bad tennis game.
Right.
And he is actually going to be playing against... Well, explain this, because there are some professional tennis players involved.
Here's what happens. A week from Wednesday, that's Wednesday, May the 17th, four of the greatest tennis players of all time, John McEnroe, Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, and Mark Philippoussis, they're coming to Chicago. It's called the Power Shares Tennis Series. I saw ads for this, and my dream is to be on a big court and play tennis like these guys. I've been playing my whole life, but I've never played anywhere near the level of these guys. So I said to the people in our promotions department, see if the people that put this tournament together want to do a media game before the big guys come out, and I'll get three other people in TV or radio in Chicago, and we'll have a match. They're not going to go for it, but see what they say. They love the idea. So it's myself. I'm playing with Kelly Krull of Comcast Sports, and we're playing Mark Carmen and Brooke Wiesbrod, who plays over at ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, Brooke, she used to be here quite a bit.
Yeah. She looks like a great athlete.
Is she
on your team?
No, she's playing with Mark Carmen.
Why didn't you take it a step further, Bill, and say that you wanted to play McEnroe on the...
I don't know that I could get, honestly, I'm a really good player. I don't know that I could get a point off of John McEnroe.
I'm sure you could get
but
a point.
Yeah, and it
a
would
fluke.
Just, but wouldn't it be the highlight, one of the highlights of your life to
well,
play
they
him
have
on a
said,
court? He doesn't like to lose.
They have said to Mark and I.
Maybe he needs to be put in his place.
John McEnroe's the guy to do it.
He would be the guy.
I got to tell you, he's the only one right
in
now.
Record
if he did
time.
Get a point, can you imagine McEnroe's reaction?
It'd be worth it to not score a point.
He'd beat the crap out
I
of
know.
You with his racket.
I don't want that.
Come on. It would be
I gotta
awesome.
I got my insurance before I get on the court with him. So it's all taking place on May the 17th, Wednesday, May the 17th. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Our match, the media match, takes place at 5:30, and then they play right after us. I think we're going to play for 45 minutes. But if people want to come out and watch some good tennis, and it's going to be, I mean, Mark Harmon is a highly, I'm competitive. Mark Harmon may be as competitive, if not more than I am. So it'll be the two of us. And like I said, Brooke is playing and Kelly's playing. It's going to be a good time.
That's but here's awesome. The funny thing. Mark has beat you 3-1, right?
Yes.
But since Bill is the last winner, that's why I thought you'd never play him again, because then you can go,
oh, no,
last time
I
we played, I won.
I keep trying to play, okay. But he's very busy.
Very busy.
He is busy.
He's, yeah.
But he is so, Mark Harmon is so geeked out about John McEnroe that I told Bill he's easily going to blow him away, because if Mark sees McEnroe walk by, he's going to be like, ha, ha, ha.
I know.
Oh, my God. You should get McEnroe to just kind of walk by and go, you suck. Oh, you've got to do
I
it.
Love Judy Pyle. Like,
that's
can
a
I
brilliant
tell you
idea.
Because McEnroe would do it. I mean, he was like, I was going to say it anyway. Right? That would be so funny.
They have told us they're doing their best to get us a practice session with the big guys. So yeah. we're doing our best
well, to
make
gonna
that
watch
happen,
anyway. So. You know they're going to be watching.
I think so, maybe.
Because that's what's like, going to make Carmen nervous.
Yeah, because they're going to be like, who do these people think they are? These guys think they heard? What?
Keep whispering that, like on points. I'll keep saying to Mark, I'll whisper across the net. McEnroe just texted me. He said, yeah. You could have gone more to your left on that.
Or just give him the little nod, like, look up there, even if he's not there.
He's there. Yeah. McEnroe's watching.
Oh, yeah. You can really play with
him.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. Also, we will have, Wendy and I will have Andy Roddick on the show with us at 10 a.m. tomorrow to talk about the match. So if you're a tennis fan, this is a big night.
You're going to have to do most of that interview.
That's fine.
All right.
That's all right. And we also want to mention something in your family that's going on today.
Well, today is, you know, May the 4th be with you. And I have to tell Judy, go ahead and laugh.
I heard that on the way in for my geeky son.
Yeah.
Well, see, and it started out, obviously, because May the 4th be with you. And it's May 4th. And Star Wars fans started this May the 4th be with you. But as soon as, like, every DJ in the country started saying it and newscasters, Star Wars people are kind of backing out of
sure.
it a little bit. But there is a documentary that's coming out, and it was made by Toronto filmmaker and friend of ours, Sheldon Norton, and he spent years following my husband Jimmy Mack and his partner Jason Swank, and their podcast Rebel Force Radio captures. Sometimes people ask, how can you asked this the other day, how can Jim do a podcast about Star Wars every week and do 2-hour ones? And even they did it when there was no new movie out.
Right.
Like, how can you find things to talk about? But passion is the bottom underlining word there,
mm-hmm.
because underlying, because they have so much passion. And this documentary is called When the Galaxy Listens. And if you listen to Rebel Force Radio and you're part of their Patreon community, you can see it, I believe, tonight, May the 4th at 6 p.m., but it gets released on YouTube, so anybody can watch it starting tomorrow.
Good.
But I'm in it because, you know, as a Star Wars widow, I'm featured in it. But it's
How
pretty
cool is
interesting.
That? A documentary.
And Sheldon Norton spent years doing this. There's clips of them and footage of them at Skywalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. So
it's great.
Called When the Galaxy Listens, the documentary. And we'll see what
six,
happens.
Right?
If you're a Patreon, if you're a member of Rebel Force Radio, you can click on their Facebook page. It's going to be on their YouTube channel. And it's pretty good. I saw the whole thing. And I just wanted to make sure I looked okay.
Sure, of course.
And had something to contribute.
You're in a couple scenes or one?
Yeah, a couple, I
think.
A few
scenes?
Will people be like, wow, he's married to her?
He will say he is way out of over his skis. That's what they will say.
Way past his blasters. That's the Star Wars equivalent of over your skis.
It's just really cool, and I know I do tease him a lot about his love for Star Wars, but I say this to my kids, too. Passion is what drives you in life, so if
mm-hmm.
you have something you love, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
So true. So true. Judy, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
That's Judy Pylock. That's who that is. We're Wendy and Bill. We'll be back in just a little bit. There's a lot more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We're on the stream, Bill.
We are on the stream, and so are you. You're listening to us on the stream. It's unbridled. Anything can happen on the stream. There's no rule. See what I mean?
That was kind of dolphin-like. I apologize.
Dolphin
for
was
horse.
In the studio. Couldn't do that on regular radio, but here on the stream, people expect it. I want to put out a warning, a Komodo dragon warning, Wendy. For some reason, they're on the warpath, the Komodo dragons, and they have bit a tourist for the first time in 5 years in Indonesia. We're very big. Our stream broadcasts are number two in Indonesia.
It can get out there.
People in Indonesia are loving this streamcast.
Hence the warning.
Right. Here's the story. And for those of you listening, I know a lot of you have Komodo dragons as pets, and it's perfectly fine.
They are
it's
pets.
It's the wild ones that are dangerous.
No, even the pet ones. There was a celebrity who was attacked by a Komodo dragon. I want to say Tom Selleck.
Was Tom Selleck attacked by a Komodo dragon?
I will look that up while you were talking.
What did Tom Selleck do to provoke the Komodo dragon attack?
Somebody was really in Sharon Stone's husband.
Oh, right. He was, wasn't he?
He had to go undergo foot surgery after being attacked by a Komodo dragon at the Los Angeles Zoo.
Wow.
And Sharon Stone...
I could think of ways that Sharon Stone could distract the Komodo dragon.
I love this segment. How do you turn on a Komodo dragon?
It's always a crowd pleaser.
Spread your legs.
Well, that's what they say. I don't know. Are they right? Who knows?
Oh, my God.
Sharon Stone's husband. You're right. How
so
about that?
I don't know why Tom Selleck was in my head, but not a bad
he
place
He seems
to be.
Like a guy if you're a Komodo dragon. Because they hate Blue Bloods, that show Blue Bloods. They hate it. So
they were angry when he shaved his mustache off.
Right. They were furious. The Komodo dragon community was up in arms. A Komodo dragon, Wendy, here's a story. This is from the Komodo dragon news that I subscribe to. It's always a waste. I'm like, why do I spend my money? And then a story like this, and I go, now I get it. Now I know why I spend the money. A Komodo dragon has bitten a tourist in Indonesia in what officials say is the first attack on humans in 5 years.
Oh, there was a good run there.
Yeah.
5 years without a Komodo dragon attack?
They have, you know how in
The Simpsons... Is it because Game of Thrones is popular now?
You have to know it has something to do with Game of Thrones. You know on The Simpsons they have that sign that says how many days they've gone without an accident?
At the
in
plant?
In Indonesia, at the airport, it shows you how many days they've had since a Komodo dragon attack, and now they have to start over.
I like the way you say Indonesia.
Indonesia.
It's like amnesia. You're hypnotizing me when you say it like
That's
that.
That's why I say it that way. You're getting sleepy. Pay no attention to the Komodo dragons on the floor. They won't attack you unless you're married to Sharon Stone. Lon Lee Al, age 50. Is that the guy? Of all the people in Indonesia, did you think Lon Lee Al would be the guy attacked?
No,
not me.
I didn't think
not
so.
Not me. He's very careful normally. Lon Lee Al was staying with locals.
What is this, a limerick?
It seems like one, doesn't it? It does seem like a limerick.
He was staying with locals.
Locals.
What other L words can we get?
In Indonesia's East Nusa Tenagra province.
All right, we lost the limerick.
It's over. Limerick's over. When he approached a group of Komodos as they were eating. Now, I'm not an expert on Komodo dragons, but I would think that that's a very vulnerable time for the Komodo dragons, feeding time.
Any animal.
Right?
Human or not.
Right. Stay away from their babies, because they don't want their babies to be taken.
Right.
And stay away from their food supply.
Because they don't want to share.
They don't want to share.
Do you like to share?
I hate to share.
See?
I once bit Sharon Stone's husband because he tried to take some of my Underwood deviled ham. True story. He was warned to keep his distance from the lizards. Lon Lee Al was warned, Wendy.
By the locals?
Yeah, the locals told Lon Lee Al.
Underwood deviled ham.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I am so proud of you sometimes. My favorite
know.
Part?
Yeah.
True story.
True story. Right. Hand to God. The lizards, they say, grow up to 10 feet long.
Yes,
and
some they're
of
huge.
10 feet long and weigh in excess of 330 pounds.
It's a big lizard.
But Lon Lee Al ignored them. Typical Lon Lee Al. Classic Lon Lee Al. One of the dragons bit Al, who is from Singapore, on the leg, Lun Liel from Singapore, not the dragon, for clarification purposes, if this is used in a deposition. I just want to clear that up. It's Lun Liel who's from Singapore. We don't know where the Komodo dragon's from. I'm guessing Komodo. Bit him on the leg before locals were able to pull him away and take him to a nearby medical center where he received first aid. Sodiano, the head of the nearby Komodo National Park, said the attack was the very first time that a human's been bit by a Komodo dragon in at least 5 years. That's good news.
That's good news.
That's a good run, which Lun Liel cannot take because one of his legs has been bit. He said of the attack, he said if the attack took place away from a neighborhood area, I'm going to take that sentence out because it doesn't make sense. I also appeal to all tourists to take guides with you when wandering around to see Komodo dragons.
See, first of all, I wouldn't wander around on my own to go see the 10-foot-long, 300-pound...
It's like a dinosaur.
It is.
It looks like a dinosaur. He then went on... Now, this is Sudiana, who is the head of the nearby Komodo National Park. He went on to say, never risk your safety by staying with locals. And but that's good for tourism.
Well, come on. There are a lot of places you stay at a resort. You don't stay with the locals.
No, I understand that.
They do have good parties.
Oh, the locals?
Uh-huh.
Great parties. Don't risk your safety by staying with the locals and watching Komodos without an official guide, only for the sake of your budget, he said. Now, to me, budgetary concerns would be secondary to getting bit by one.
Yeah, but I'm sure these people, a local, is one of the locals, would come up and say, give me $500 and I'll give you a tour.
Oh, maybe. I wouldn't put it past them.
It's worth it, though. It saves your leg.
Yeah, absolutely. The largest lizards in the world, Komodo dragons, are carnivorous and have a venomous bite. There are just 4,000 of the creatures left in the wild. Well, this would be easy if they're rounding them up to find out which one did it. You just draw in, you got 4,000 at the most. It's easy they're doing a lineup, making them a protected species. They can be found in the Indonesian islands of Komodo. Rinca, Flores.
Rinca dinka doo.
That's the Durante dragon. Its nose is twice the size of the other dragons.
Oh, boy.
Gili Montang and Padar. I'm just saying words now.
You should be a newscaster.
This has no bearing on the story whatsoever. These are just combinations of letters I find entertaining.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
So please, listeners, if Steve Bertrand of Steve Bertrand Travel tries to convince you to go to Indonesia and says the Komodo dragons are fun to pet, be very, very wary because they will take a chunk out of you.
Is the kid going to be okay?
Uncle Tommy? Is he going to be okay, Uncle Tommy? Yes, little Larry.
It's
the other way around.
Uncle Tommy. That didn't
sound
right.
Uncle Larry, little Tommy.
But seriously, is the boy going to be okay?
It doesn't.
He lost his leg?
Yeah.
I'm concerned for him. They say like those Komodo dragons have like a ton of bacteria, and that's kind of what, like, when they bite, that's what takes out their...
You get an infection.
Yeah. Well, they said they're venomous and they're carnivores. Those are two of the things I check for first when I go on a date.
All right, we must stop now.
Yes, we have to.
We're not out of time. It's just time to stop talking.
Cane has come.
Right. Patrick Kane's father. Giant Kane. All right. Do we have to take a break or are we just done?
No,
we're just done. We took a break.
I think we should be finished.
Break didn't help.
Thank God there's a show coming up after ours to save this place.
Wendy, I wish that were true. There is no show. In 23 hours, you get another episode of us. That's what you get.
Boy, that's sad.
It's sad.
But it is Friday tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow should be a good show. Kevin, who's on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we will be speaking with Andy Roddick.
Tennis great Andy Roddick.
Hold on. I'm pulling my rundown up. Andy Roddick, we got Jeff Gorbina of Tamales Restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And wonderful mariachi group Sones de Mexico.
Oh, yeah, our big
Cinco de Mayo celebration.
Cinco Explosion, we'll call it.
I like it.
And Wendy's going to dance with a Komodo dragon, Kevin.
That's right, yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And Skip Haynes on the stream.
Oh, that's an interesting story, by the way. Skip Haynes, the writer of Lakeshore Drive by Aliota Haynes Jeremiah. And that song is going to be featured on a very popular soundtrack, and it's going to be a boom for this song.
Yeah.
It's very famous for Chicagoans.
And I hope I'm not ruining a surprise, but he has written a special version that incorporates your name and my name in the song.
Have you heard it yet?
No.
Don't play it for us yet. We want to be surprised
tomorrow.
Can't
wait to hear it. Okay. I can't wait to hear it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. This is Stream of Consciousness, a WGN special presentation.
Special is in quotation marks.
Right. And there's winking involved. Bye, everybody.